For the fans, by the fans, this is the Non-League Football Show, and I'm Tim Fuel, back with another weekly look at the world of non-league football. Four promotions in five full seasons saw him take his last club from Step 6 to challenging for playoffs in Step 2. This week, he left to take on the full-time role in Step 1, a challenge he's clearly excited and humbled by in equal measure. It needed to be something special to tempt Jimmy Dean away from Peterborough Sports, and the challenge of the manager's job at Scunthorpe United is just that, and in his usual open and honest way, explains all. Equal and honest about his affections for his club and non-league football, it's chairman at Cambridge City, Kevin Satchell. He's dealt with ground eviction, nomadic existence, high court actions, and even planning reviews in his time at the club. And the club still continues to thrive as they near moving into their purpose-built ground some 10 years since they left their last permanent home. Executive editor at the non-league paper, John Couch, is also on hand to round up the week's news and also previews another bumper weekend with the paper as the weather looks favourable upon the football calendar this weekend. Much to come then. Sit back, relax, and let's get matters underway. After seven seasons, 11 trophies and four promotions, including two of those COVID hit seasons or non-seasons that we had, he's moved on to pastures new and he's got a big new challenge ahead of him. It's always a pleasure to get him on the show, and it is an honour to welcome back to the Non-League Football Show new manager at Scunthorpe United, Mr. Jimmy Dean. Welcome back, Jimmy, and congratulations.
Thanks, Tim. Appreciate it, mate. Thanks for having me back.
Well, yeah, you've always done so well in the past, and I don't think it'll be any different in this new job. I mean, let's start with that departure. It was announced on Saturday evening that you'd be leaving Peterborough Sports. How did you get an opportunity to say goodbye to everybody? Were there tears shed? I know probably in the days leading up to it, your head was a mishmash of decisions and everything to be made. But how did it all come about?
That's the best description I've heard yet, really, mate. It is, yeah, and there was a goodbye and there was tears. I don't mind admitting it. You know, I people very close in the changing room. I can't deny it. It was only one outcome, really. Once I knew it was something that could happen, but it didn't make it any easier. Do you know what I mean? That's the truth. And yeah, how'd it come about? An approach from the chairman, I suppose. I think I was his only target, which was quite flattering. Very flattering. And, a bit of an honour, really, isn't it? A bit of an honour, really.
It's high profile, isn't it? You know, we've spoken earlier on in the season about the rise to fame and the rise to success that you'd had at Peterborough Sports, and how it was becoming. You were the unfashionable club, weren't you? Really, you were battling against everything, and as much as Scunthorpe United have had a difficult few years, particularly this season. I've spoken to people this week. Suddenly Scunthorpe United is in that big spotlight now. You know, with the new chairman coming in, new changes. The new project is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It's as simple as that. Everything you're dealing with, the players, the club, the fans, it's just they're all bigger profiles. It's exciting, Tim. That's what it is. It's exciting. I ain't going to be taking backward steps with it. I can tell you that much. I've said this to everyone and anyone, really. I'll be honest, and I can only be me, mate. Do you know what I mean? That's all I know how to be. Like, I'll give my best every day, and I'll try and build up a good bond with these boys. Try and get the best out of them and make them want to play for me. And hopefully, hopefully we'll get, you know, a positive reaction.
Yeah, and I think there's always been a positive reaction by you being you, because you are you, and, you know, we love you for it, and fans have loved you for it at Peterborough Sports. And I was, you know, if Hollywood was listening, your story, you know, it's got to be one that they're considering. You know, you've now gone to this club that spent 72 seasons in the Football League before relegation last term. They've struggled on and off the field. You know, if you're a fan of Scunthorpe United, the last 6 months in particular have been awful. Now got a new owner. The transfer embargo's been lifted as well. Two decent results in recent games. Now a new manager that's got success all the way through him. What's the reaction been like from fans? Have you had an opportunity to meet up with them yet?
Yeah, I've seen a few around the place. It's all positivity. You know, on the social medias before shutdown, it was all positivity. Well, 99% of it. You know, which was, that's, you know, I wanted that. I wanted to know there was, you know, in a good place of it, and everything that's happening with Dave and how the club's being moved forward. And I just, you know, I just want to try and make them as happy as we can now. I want them to see a team that goes out and fights for them, a team that goes out and gives everything, you know. Because that's the start, isn't it? I think that's what these people demand as a minimum. You know, they've had that the last few weeks. And the challenge is to try and make that, you know, kick on and go forward now, isn't it?
Yeah, and I'm looking, and you've got your first game in charge, Friday night. Now, there's no easy games anyway at this level or any level of football. But
Are easy ones. There's Barnet, and then there's Eastleigh. Dagenham and Redbridge, sorry. Yeah. Eastleigh played Barnet the other night. That's why they're in my brain.
Yep.
And then there's Dagenham and Redbridge are also in the playoffs. And then it's away to Wrexham.
Wrexham, so, yeah.
There's some lovely, easy games there to start off with. You know,
I mean, one of the good things that I've seen, it does look like the fans really are getting behind this new regime, and, you know, tickets are going well. And a Friday night football as well always creates that different little buzz. And it sounds like, you know, it is really, Glanford Park is the place to be on Friday evening this week.
I think it will be. I mean, I went there Saturday and, you know, they had the songs playing, the music, and I found myself bopping my head there. And like, it was an incredible atmosphere. And it was happy people. It was relieved people. Mm. It was people who, you know, like I said earlier, I think, you know, these clubs like this in places like this, they become institutions. They become generations of, you know, families and granddads and, you know, sons and children and little boys. They all go together to these places. They stand on the terraces or sit in the seats together. They last three generations. And Scunthorpe was about to lose that, wasn't it? It was about to go. You know, and obviously Dave's pulled through. A lot of people sat at the table for months. Nothing happened. And Dave's done a deal in, what, 7-8 days. He's a doer, you know. And I sense that relief around the place. It was great to be there, actually. It was great to sense that, you know.
You say that he is a do it, and he's the sort of person that I'd like to be in a meeting with, some of the meetings that I have to sit through. But you know, as well as yourselves arriving, one big bit of news this week was the lifting of the transfer embargo that hung over the club with that winding up order from HMRC that is still there. And I mean, how important was that for you to be part of this deal, to take this move?
Well, I think it's important because it... you know, there's some good players at the club, some real good players. Obviously, there's been a turnaround in the last few weeks with the new owner coming in, you know, or being on the rise, and, you know, the players have responded to that. But there's nothing that helps players play well than, like, competition, is there? You know, same as anything in life. You know, if you think someone's after what you got, you fight to keep it, don't you? And I think that's initially what we've done. We've added a little bit of depth in a couple of areas. We didn't really have a out and out centre forward. We had John Cam Wilson, who's been banging the goals in, do a job there, and he probably, you know, he's gonna have to do one again at some point. But, you know, to get a centre forward in, get a few midfielders in to freshen up the competition in there. You know, I think we've got a left back in as well, to get some competition there. And all of a sudden, we've got a little winger in as well. a couple of wingers, in fact. And all of a sudden, you're talking about, you know, there's some depth, there's options to play a different couple of different formations. You know, it's a lot more positive, isn't it? So that's initially what the embargo means for me. Some competition, some depth, because they lost their three attackers. I think Apta, Lavalry, and the boy went to Oldham, who are all, you know, all, good players, real good players for the level. Mm. So with that happening, we had to bring in a bit of backup, and we've done that. But yeah. I'd imagine, you know, that's the start. That's not to say there's going to be another 6-7 coming in, but it depends. Like I said, it depends what happens on Friday. If the boys go in, then they win the game, then, you know, you don't need to bring anyone in, do you?
Yeah, and what sort of time have you had with the lads? We're speaking now late Thursday evening. You've already had a long week, and you're giving us your time again. But what time have you had with the players to get to know them and understand them and sort of put together? You know, you've got, as you say, 6 or 7 new faces come in, and get them gelled together. Friday night game's lovely, but it's probably 24 hours earlier than you actually wanted.
Yeah, so Monday we went in there just to see how it worked, really. Just have a look at the kind of stuff they're doing, you know, how they're trained. Obviously, you look at it and you think, how can we do it a little bit different to match how we want to do things? Then Tuesday was your day off because you have 2 days in before your game. But it weren't really, you know, because we wanted to get the players in for the Wednesday so we could start training together. So it wasn't really. I was at it from 9 till probably 10 at night, because every time, you know, a player comes up, you have to do some form of research. Then you have to get on your laptops and have a look at them, their records and histories, and, you know, watch them play games, really. But that takes quite a while, Tim. It's not 2 minutes on a player. Oh, yeah, we're taking. And then maybe you don't get them, and then you have to start the process again. You know, you can understand how it goes. So it's real draining. Yeah, if you've done 1 or 2, it wouldn't be a problem, because you try to get so many in. Mm. And there's so many, from the recruitment team, there's so many options coming in from different
And is that different? Is that different for you then? Have you got like lots of people offering you advice on that recruitment side because you're at that next level or that higher level of a club?
Well, yeah, there's a recruitment team, isn't there? You know, it's just the higher you go even higher. The scouts bring the players to the managers, mm-hmm. don't they? Me traditionally, like it's not how it's done. It's players are targets or tip offs are target, mm-hmm. and I'd research myself. I mean, we have had a scout this season. He's done a good job at Peterborough Sports, and identified some targets, but you know, a lot of them are driven by me as well. Mm. The difference here, it's a different corner of the country, so where I'd have a real good knowledge of the younger players, the youth players in Peterborough and Cambridge, not so much, you know, the clubs around Scunthorpe. So there's people there who do, and you know, you've got to trust them, haven't you? So that's the difference, really. I mean, the issue for me this time around is we're trying to get quite a few in. I'm going for 1s and 2s, like I just said. Mm. When you're going for 5s and 6s or 7s even, it's a little bit more difficult, isn't it? You know, to research and get it all done.
And also, it's not just their ability on the park as well. I guess you want to bring the dressing room together quickly as well, because you're second from bottom. You need the right grit and determination and that, you know, old fashioned non league stuff to come through from them as well.
You do, mate. The youth, the 3 19-year-olds that come in, they've all come from good clubs. One Premier League, one Championship, one League One. But the League One boy has played, I think he's had 8 9 games this season. Do you know what I mean? In League One, you know, they come in with no fear, really. You know, they're coming in to make a mark for them for their own reasons as well as us. And then you look at your older players. You want that the right type, so to speak, don't you? You want someone who's going to knuckle down. Mm. But it's a tight market as well, Tim. The window's just shut, so it's harder to get. Mm. You can imagine, so it's harder to make things happen now.
Yep.
From hire, which we've tried and are trying. And boys, you know, this stage of the season, you're really going to see clubs who have got things to play for let players go. We've had that issue as well, you know. Mm. It's been difficult, but we've got some good players, and we think. And hopefully they're just going to give us a little nudge.
Yeah, but I also look at your dugout there, and you've taken Chris Plummer with you as your number two. You've also got former Blyth Spartans boss Michael Nelson staying on as a coach as well. In terms of management experience, three lads, you're all still younger than me as well, so I class you as having plenty of life in you yet. I mean, that's an impressive array of talent off the field to direct those that are going on the field for you.
I think it's a great team, mate. I do, you know. Them two have both got fantastic pedigree. Mm. Both played right at the top end of the pyramid. Plums was in England in the 21 international as well. You know, I think there's good direction next week. And do you know what? They're good guys. They relate with the boys well. Obviously, me and Plums are finding their feet. And, you know, I don't want to come across as someone who's trying to lay down the law. Because I'm really not that kind of bloke. But, you know, saying that there is a law and it's got to be followed. You know, we've got to do our best every day. But I also think that should be a minimum.
Yeah,
that should be a minimum for boys. It should be a minimum. You know, being a professional football is a privilege, and what we want to help these boys do is make the most of it. You know, they're probably not had the environment where they've been able to do that very much the last year or two. But hopefully that's going to change now. You know. Mm.
And for you, it's a new scenario as well. Not only a new club, but with more resources hopefully available to you as well. But you're used to riding high and looking over your shoulder at those that are chasing you as well. Is that going to change the way that you manage as well?
The pressure's there's a different pressure, isn't there? You know, I come straight in. I don't want to get relegated. Do you know what I mean? I don't want Scunthorpe to be relegated. I don't want the fans to see relegated. Scunthorpe relegated. I don't, you know, on my watch, so to speak, I don't want to be involved in a relegation, you know. But they're 5 points behind, and they've played three games more than the team that they're trying to catch. They are 5 points behind, and it's a really tough one, you know. What I would say, you know, I've got a chairman I trust, and the big factor is. It's Scunthorpe United. If it wasn't, I want to put myself at risk like this. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, I've got a chairman I trust, so in the clubs. It's Scunthorpe United. It's as simple as that, isn't it? It's Scunthorpe United. It's one of the biggest clubs in non-league. I mean, you'd say there's them, Notts County, Wrexham and Oldham. They're the big four. And like I say, previously, like, it's an honour. It's the honour of my life. By my family I've created. It's amazing, Tim. And, you know, you feel that when you're there, you feel that energy and you feel that positivity.
Well, you know, I don't want to blow any more smoke up your backside, but when I saw the news, when I got a sniff of the rumour of the news, there was a big smile came across my face, because I do know that the hours that you've put in, I do know how much you love football, and I do know, you know, your ambition and that sort of thing. And to see you given that opportunity, and also, you know, under that new regime, with that new thought process and that, it made me smile.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Tim. What I think a lot of people thought that. I don't think anyone can deny that I haven't, if not Scunthorpe, then somewhere that I haven't earned an opportunity to have a crack at, you know, a big job. Do you know what I mean? You know, like, I think pretty much 5 seasons of 4 promotions, there's 3 titles, 11 trophies, and 2 we lost. I think it's pretty much unparalleled. I do. Like, someone might correct me. I think it certainly is with a club like we've had, an unfashionable club. You know, so I think the chances aren't the chances deserved. But again, thank you to the chairman, Mr. Hilton, because he's broke the wheel, hasn't he? He's not gone for a traditional appointment. He's gone for a different profile. He's gone for someone with a different mindset, a different level of energy than the same old. You see it in the Premier League a lot, don't you? Managers can't get in because the same managers do the job. They get sacked. They do another job. They get sacked. There's ongoing jokes about it. But they do it because they're less risk.
Yeah.
You know, that to win something can mean really I've got to give everything I can to make sure as much as a Scunthorpe fans are repaid, he is too.
Yeah. And I don't think anybody doubts the effort you're going to put in either there and that proven success record. Now, we know from previous conversations as well that doing the miles isn't an issue for you. But even my rudimentary geography of the UK tells me that Peterborough to Scunthorpe isn't the shortest commute. I mean, how's that going to work for you?
Well, it's about an hour and a half, hour and 40, I'd say. That's what I put it at. You know, it's not ideal, is it? It's not. But it's not the end of the world. You know, I've when I was up till, I was a carpenter down the country, and I've worked 2 hours each way, then gone out and done a day's labour. You know, they're not the days that you'd expect when you go in there. You know, it's thinking and it's football. And they're positive environments, and you can still be home at a good time. Not every day. Tonight I got back at 6 o'clock. You know, but I'd imagine if you left there at 1 o'clock some days, you're back at 3 and you can do the school run. I ain't had one of them yet. but maybe if we can get a couple of wins, you know, I might think I'm entitled to one, but I don't, I certainly don't yet. It's all work. I don't care about driving there. And the truth is as well, we'll stay down there some nights, mate.
Yeah.
We'll stay down there.
And what about the family as well? Because you've mentioned there that you do the school run. You are a big family man. We know that from the past. I suppose Friday night games aren't ideal to get the family along. But, I mean, that's going to be different for them, isn't it? You know, even your big games at Peterborough Sports are probably going to be dwindle into insignificance in terms of a crowd that you're going to be seeing chanting your name at Glanford Park.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be chanting my name yet, but hopefully we can get to that stage. It's like I say, it's the honour of me life apart from my family. You know, I keep saying that term because that's how big a deal it is for me. And my family are part of that, and I want them to share it. They're all coming up on Friday night. They're all coming to watch the game. I reckon I'll be 100 from Peterborough, honestly. because it's like you say about leaving and the mark you leave on people. But you don't judge people about things when they come in the door, judging when they leave, judging what impact they've had when they left. And obviously going into Peterborough Sports and leaving, there's obviously a lot of people that have I've impacted positively. And
while you're on that, let me. I'll just read a bit from Grant, the chairman at Peterborough Sports, on the statement that you put up on you and Chris leaving, and he says there, we had a long discussion on Thursday when he remained torn, but I advised him this was just too good a chance for him to turn down, and he should accept it with mine and the whole club's blessing. It's not often. I know you've taken them up and all that sort of thing and brought them success. It's not often when a manager leaves any club that the chairman, you know, he's basically inviting you around for Sunday lunch again.
Yeah, no, like I said, me and, you know, me and Grant, I think it's something that at the time probably suited Peterborough Sports situation. I'm driving, and obviously sports are having a tough time at the minute, aren't they? You know, that's hopefully sorted out soon. It's not mine to say, but hopefully the embargo's been lifted now and the financial constraints are being eased a bit. But me and Grant have had a real fantastic time together, you know. It's sad, really. It's sad that's ended because we've shared an awful lot of fantastic times, but the things he said, this kind of, it sums the club up, really, and how they act. They've done the same for Dion as well. You know, they've let Dion walk away. You know, probably a lot of clubs wouldn't have done that either, would they?
No.
It's one thing replacing the managers. It's another thing replacing
your star player.
One of your better players, yeah. I can't say star because the rest won't like me. But one of your better players who's been pivotal to the success you've had in the other seasons and this season. So, I mean, I picked them up. They just finished 4 foot, step six. And in five and a bit seasons now, because we're halfway in, I left them 3 points outside the playoffs at step two. With after having an embargo on us for 3 or 4 months. And riding through that, not, you know, like that's that there. You know, I've done me bit, Tim. Do you know what I mean? Done me bit from
You certainly have, and that yeah. When you first went in at Pre-Pro Sports, you've always been ambitious. But did you ever envisage that you'd be at the top level of non-league managing within, you know, such a short space of time? You still are. Yeah. What are you? 40, if that.
40, yeah. I mean, look, we've lost 2 years as well, yeah. Tim. You know, we've done that. Like, you think Friday night, I'm going to manage at every level, you know, in 5 and a bit seasons that I've got to complete. Manage at every level in non-league, you know, that's a big bucket list, isn't it? Mm. You know, it's a big thing to say you've done. You know, like you say, it is a short period of time to have done it. But going back to it, I never thought it was going to go this way. I mean, everyone thinks they know everything about football, don't they? And I'm sure when I used to watch the telly, I thought I knew more than the commentators. But no, I can't say I thought that. I can't say that. That was the aims when I started. But like, it's become apparent as it goes on and on, the further I get up the ladder, the closer you get to it, something might come, mightn't it?
Yeah.
And all I can say to sports and discomfort for that matter is I've shown time and again I wouldn't leave for anyone. I wouldn't leave for a few quid more. I wouldn't leave for a little bit more ambition. I wouldn't leave for a little bit bigger club. It had to be something that was going to be life-changing. It had to be something that was going to, you know, it had to be something special. That's how I can describe discomfort. Special. It had to be something like that. And so I've proved, haven't I?
You have, and I, you know, I'd like to think that Scunthorpe United have got something special in you as well. Jimmy, you've already given us more time than you were ever going to give us, but it's always a pleasure getting on the football show. We're going to follow your progress as ever and hopefully speak to you again very soon. But best of luck on Friday and, you know, enjoy your new project.
Tim, you only enjoy it when you win, mate. So that's how we get through them and the ball. Listen, thanks for having us on. Thanks for making contact. You know where I am if you want me.
So while we so often celebrate success and winning on this show, we also like to stay across success that goes beyond just trophies, whether that's community projects, fights to stay in existence, or maybe striving for a new ground. Those are the stories that so often go untold, but are at the heart of success of non-league as we know it. And our next man, well, he's been at the heart of his club for decades and at the heart of stories from each of those little sections, little areas, so often the untold areas. In fact, if Hollywood really were looking for a drama from non-league to make into a film, he should be high up on that list. A few new ground update picks this week prompted me to get back on to remind us all of the hard graft involved in non-league football clubs. Let's give a warm welcome back to the non-league football show to Cambridge City chairman Kevin Satchell. Welcome, Kevin.
Hello, Tim. Nice to speak to you again.
It's always a pleasure, Kevin. I think you described it to me as not any significant news, but the Sawston pictures that I saw basically up on the website this week just reminded me of the tale of your club and, well, your dedication to keep it going, really. A brief history, and please do correct me if I'm sure I will go wrong, but the club were at the City Ground. I think that's where we first met many years ago. It was sold many years ago before that, I think, by a former board member to a company it turned out were owned by one of those former directors. The club stayed on at tenants for a short while. You had to battle hard to stay on longer. And just to survive, you were demoted from the Conference South due to ground grading issues that were beyond your control because of the situation with the landlords. The old landlords you then took to the High Court You won, which it gave you an extended stay a little bit more at the City Ground, and also a share of those profits from the ground sale. You eventually moved out of the City Ground in April 2013 and became, you lived that ground sharer existence and ever since. The new site at Sawston was found, I think, just before, with a hope to build a new ground. And we're now nearly, 10 years on. Construction's well advanced. You've had various issues, including like the planning for the new ground. I think you hit every snag that could possibly be hit, but you're there. I've seen the pictures this week. There's a big building gone up. There's sort of looks like a football stadium now from afar, and you're hopeful of being in the new ground for the start of the new season. How have you kept going?
Yeah, well, I suppose I can't really explain that in a simple short conversation, but we have done, and I suppose I didn't see it as of any significance, just because myself and a number of other people are at the stadium site quite a few times a week, and so it's just gradually evolving to us and taking forever. But of course, a significant reason of how we've kept going, I suppose, is the fans, of course, and their continuing willingness to support the club and to help the club during the ground share period, voluntary work, for example, lots of other ways as well, of course. But we're getting there, but still seems a long way off, really, the start of next season.
Yeah, and I've been in a similar position, probably not gone through as many hoops as you have. But I mean, anybody that's ever met you, you are genuinely a football fan, a fan of your club. I think that's important as well, isn't it? Because probably over the years you've had plenty of stick. I'm sure there's many a keyboard warrior that suggested that you're mad for doing what you're doing, or that you're not telling them the truth and that sort of thing. And it's difficult enough to get up in the morning, let alone sort of deal with all the other grief and also run a football club.
Yeah, well, you're right. I am a fan of the club, and that does make a difference, I suppose. I'm far less likely to walk away from all this. And my family are funding it, the new stadium, to a large extent. I'm lucky, really, because, to be honest, I don't get a lot of stick nowadays from supporters. I don't know why that is. Maybe that'll change when the new stadium finally gets built and we still don't start winning enough. We'll see. Time will tell.
Well, I think that having seen those photographs and the stadium coming into existence, the black and white cladding, it's gonna look lovely from the outside. But what about the facilities that it'll give you as well? Because you've been nomads. I mean, what difference will having your own stadium actually make to being able to run the football club properly?
Yeah, huge difference. Obviously, the when you're ground sharing, the income is very minimal. Just basically the gate money, and then of course you've got rent to pay as well. We don't get any bar take-ins or food take-ins, and of course don't get the opportunity to run profitable functions at our football stadium, because we haven't got one. And new stadium will also have a grass main pitch and a 3G second pitch, and revenue. That'll be a very good facility because we have many, many teams. But also it will generate extra revenue for the club as well. So the change will be massive. We're expecting the stadium facility to be open 7 days a week, so it won't just be all about the men's first team or the ladies' first team. It'll be far, far more important than that, and that'll all lead to a much more sustainable club than we currently are.
Yeah, but what I love most about me saying that you've been keeping the club running, it isn't just the first team for men that you have been keeping going, but it is almost a full community provision you're still giving at the moment. You've got men's, you've got ladies, you've got youth, you've got parability teams. The ability to maximise that and create your own community, I guess, that's going to be the most important factor of having your own home.
Yeah, I think in many ways that is one of the more impressive things that we've managed to achieve at Cambridge City during the ground share period. Is we've kept all these teams going at their different venues where they train and where they play. But there's no doubt that some of them don't quite feel that much part of the club because they don't turn up at a Cambridge City ground to play. And that will all change, and it'll bring everybody together more as well. And hopefully support will increase accordingly. I'm sure it will. I'm sure that we will see an increase in attendances. I expect the club to be, within its limits, reasonably successful over the coming years. I certainly hope so anyway, after everything that we've been through. But we will see.
Yeah, and ground sharing at the moment, and have been for many years at Histon in Impington. Now, my Cambridge geography isn't that great. So how does Impington relate to the old ground and indeed the new ground at Sawston?
Yeah, right. Well, Impington is where I'm talking to you from now because it's a village I live in. But it's probably 3 miles away from the old ground at Milton Road. The new stadium is being that's to the north of Cambridge. Sorry, the new stadium is being built to the south of Cambridge, so the other side, really, and slightly further out of the city. But Cambridge seems to be expanding every day nowadays, so I don't think that's going to be a problem. There's many a person has said, "How can you still call yourself Cambridge City when you're not going to be in the city anymore?" But that's just one of them things, isn't it? We're not going to change our name because of that. We are what we are, and we'll still represent Cambridge and its surrounding area, I suppose. That'll be our aim anyway.
I love that criticism because I love one snippet I've always loved about your club is that when you were first formed, you were named Cambridge Town because you were formed before Cambridge had even been given its city status. And I think for me, when we've just spoken about your community work, the men's, the ladies, the youth, the parability teams, bringing everybody together, the fact that you change your name to blend with the city growing or the area that you were growing into just shows how important football clubs are to the local area.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and I think that's why. I mean, we very much feel part of Cambridge. Our supporters are not only from Cambridge; we from all over Cambridge here and beyond. But we feel that we represent Cambridge. I know there's more than one club in the city, but that doesn't mean to say we can't carry on doing what we've always done. Providing a decent level of football for many players from around this area as well, whether they be adults or youth or even children and, boys and girls. And as you say, disability teams as well. So I think we do a fairly good job there. We want to carry on doing it and still represent Cambridge as long as we can.
Yeah, and again, the fact that you're still there, the fact that you're still there is important to me as well. I think when we were first met, you were probably operating the gate, doing the program, doing the secretarial stuff, and everything like that. And I don't suppose much has changed over the years. You're probably still wearing many hats as well.
I've got many volunteers helping. Don't you worry. I mean, it's I do know some clubs where literally I don't like to call them a one man band, but you know what I mean. But I think. I think at Cambridge City, we've always tried to run semi-professionally, as you should, obviously. Basically, meaning we try and be professional, but we're not getting paid for doing it. I think we do that quite well. So I'm certainly not going to take all the credit for everything that goes on at Cambridge City because there's lots of people involved lots of people who the club just wouldn't exist without, to be honest. It takes a number of people that step four, which we currently play at. And, you know, I'm very grateful to them all for doing what they do.
Well said, that man. Well said, that man. And you are, you know, in step four, the Midlands division in the Northern Premier League. How are you finding the travel there? Because you've been in the Southern League, the Isthmian League, and now in the Northern Premier League. Is this better for the club to get to games on a Saturday and on midweek, I guess, is probably the big difference.
Yeah, I think there's more travel in this league than there was when we were in the Isthmian League Division 1 North. That was the least travel for us. But because we were Conference South in the mid-2000s, for example, and then Southern Premier, going down to the likes of Truro and Biddeford. So the travel we do now is significantly less than we were doing. But if you drop down the levels, which unfortunately we have done, then you do expect less travel. But no, it's not, you know, it's not a huge problem to us. But I do think that when we move to Thorston, we probably will be better suited to be back in the Isthmian League. Even though we still feel really that we're a Southern League club. But, you know, that's not knocking the Northern Premier League. We are where we are, and we're happy to be playing in it. So, yeah, but the travel is not something we can't handle. We'd rather not have some of the journeys we do have, but that's life.
And that, you know, as I often speak to managers in this show, it's a way of building that community, and the fans get to travel and get to know each other and that sort of thing. So there's always positives and negatives of wherever you're playing. One good thing is that you're still playing, and I think that's the important thing. And I just wanted to highlight the fact of the hard work of yourself and, as you say, all the other people that have helped keep Cambridge City alive and keep you going and keep you striving for that. That first day back at the new stadium, I don't suppose have you sort of woken up to a start in the middle of the night of a dream or a nightmare where you've on that first day when you're back in and you're trying to get that opening game on. Has that crossed your mind yet?
It certainly crossed my mind. I wouldn't say I've dreamt about it, but yeah, I mean, at the moment I'm. You know, I can't wait for that to happen, but I'm sure it'll come with its own issues when we get to that stage. But yeah, I look forward to that. Definitely, you know, it'd be a nice problem to have. Like everyone who supports the club, I can't wait for that to come about.
And we look forward to getting you back on the Non-League Football Show when that does occur, Kevin. Thank you once again for joining us on the show. Best of luck for the rest of the season, and best of luck with the continuation of the stadium. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Tim.
Time once again then to head on over to a Non-League Paper Towns and welcome back to the Non-League Football Show. Executive Editor at the Non-League Paper, Mr. John Couch. Welcome back, John.
Thanks, Tim. Good afternoon.
It's a good time to be involved in non-league at the moment, because there's been something of a novelty. We've had games on here and there and everywhere in the past week. We've got through the majority of the FA Vars fourth round now. We know all the FA Trophy fifth round competitors after FC Halifax's penalty win midweek at Arrabarra. I wasn't privy to all of the games, of course, but game of the week, you know, one of the contenders had to be that Wrexham game in the FA Cup against Sheffield United. Did you get an opportunity to watch that, John?
Yeah, I did. It was an absolute cracker, Tim, and I was just gutted for them. You know, they were so close. You know, to go 1-0 down in a minute, you know, it would have been fans thinking, "Oh, here we go." You know, but and then they lost their two key central defenders inside 10 minutes, and it just looked like it was going to be one of those days. And you know, to come back from that League 2-1, and obviously then Sheffield United hit back for 2-2, and then they went down to 10 men, and it was all open for them. They got the goal, so 3-2 going into stoppage time, and it looked like it was going to be a dream win for them. And they just conceded a corner. It was one of the things that might have cleared their lines, but they didn't. They considered a corner right in stoppage time, and that's what that's what good teams can do to you. They punish you just when you think it's beyond them. But what a great effort. It's going to be a great occasion down at Bramall Lane on Tuesday in front of the cameras again for them. But tough test. But if they can come through that like they did against Coventry in the last round, then what a tie that awaits them in the fifth round, Tottenham Hotspur at home. That's just a dream for everyone. So, and you talk about Hollywood storylines, and there's nothing. I don't think even Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney would have seen anything like that. It was a great occasion for the club, and there's an even bigger one awaiting them around the corner if they can get through.
Yeah, I mean, already, that waffer thin, is it that was a phrase, wasn't it, from Python? Waffer thin, from beating a side that chasing promotion up there for promotion to the top tier of the professional game once again. It shows the strength of non-league, and also that as you said, everything was against them in that game. It was like someone was pulling the chair from behind them every 5 minutes that something else was going wrong. But it just showed that non-league grit and determination. And as you say, if you'd submitted that to a Hollywood director, the whole script behind it, they probably wouldn't believe you. But that carrot. Not only that, they've got TV coverage again on Tuesday evening on ITV, and then that potential game at home to Tottenham Hotspur. Whatever this new era of Wrexham brings, and I know that they're desperate to get back into Football League. I mean, what a season already!
Yeah, it really is, and I think they just showed that big club they are. I mean, yes, they're flying the non-league flag, but they're not your usual sort of archetypal non-league club that you would normally see flying the flag at this stage of the FA Cup. But the team that Phil Parkinson's amassed there is tremendous. I mean, but not just in names, but as you say, in spirit as well. You know, to lose John Tunnicliffe and then Aaron Hayden inside 10 minutes. Aaron Hayden's been amazing this year. You know, he's been immense for him, and what a big loss that would have been inside 10 minutes. And you could have quite easily been giving them really for heads going down after that, but no, not at all. They all stuck together, stuck to their guns, and how they clawed them back and then went into lead. Wanted to lead 2-1 by the hour. You know, that's an incredible achievement. And when you've got the likes of Mullin and Palmer in there, and Luke Young in midfield, he was immense as well. They were to a man. They were fantastic. And it was just a shame that they just couldn't hold out for another minute or so, because that would have been a real non-league storyline that you could have boasted for years. But unfortunately, they couldn't quite hold out. But still got a chance. And as I say, they went to Championship side Coventry City and beat them 4-3 in the last round. So who's to say they can't pull off another big shot?
Yeah, I mean, we talk about Hollywood, and we talk about there's a documentary, there's their TV appearance on Tuesday night. They probably need to get a makeup department into Wrexham soon for all these TV appearances, because I think they're the TV game in the National League as well on Saturday, aren't they? Away at Altrincham, the BT Sport game at 5:20 on Saturday evening. But so their focus will be back on that, obviously, for the league. But because they've got that FA Cup replay, there's no midweek action for Wrexham this week in the National League, and it's still clubs chasing each other, swapping the lead. Notts County took advantage of Wrexham not being in action this week and grabbed top spot again, and they also secured a 20th game unbeaten in the league, which, despite their long history, is a club record.
Yes, amazing. Yes, I read that. I thought that was that was a great stat, sort of bearing in mind, even, you know, some of the great teams that they've had there over the years. But yeah, I mean, all Nutcanny can do is do the best to take advantage and win their own games. I mean, Wrexham's FA Cup run will mean that they will be two or three games behind, and I think if you ask either manager, they would prefer to have the points on the board. So I think if Notts County could just sort of, as I say, keep their minds on what they're doing and keep that run going. Big win in midweek, going 1-0 down at Solihull Moors. That's not easy to claw back. Solihull, of course, a big side and promotion hopefuls themselves. So, but they managed to claw it back, come back with all 3 points. Huge win that. And as I said, they're going to be a good couple of games in front of Wrexham now. So the pressure really then turns on Wrexham to claw that back, and with the FA Cup intentions as well. And obviously, there's always going to be a lot of attention on Wrexham, a lot of pressure on Wrexham every single game they play. Notts County will feel that if they can just keep that run going, then they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, and you've still got, you know, other clubs. It's so, again, so tight there. Chesterfield still with four games in hand over Notts County that they need to catch up, and they've got a tough trip down to Boreham Wood this weekend. It's the National League is going to go all the way to the end, but that's on the field. Elsewhere in the National League, off the field, the turmoil at Southend United has been getting some attention again. In November, I know that the Shrimpers Trust lent the club £40,000 to help pay wages for effectively a 3-month loan. And this week, I think the Trust admitted that it didn't expect that to be repaid on time, which, when I think about it, it is worrying when you're effectively reneging on a deal with your best supporters. I think that's it doesn't sit well for the long-term future maybe of the club. There's also other noise amongst supporters looking to get put together a Phoenix club just in case the club don't come out come the wrong side of this adjourned HMRC court hearing that's still hanging over the club. There's still so many other twists and turns, probably off the field as well as on the field, in the National League this season.
Yeah, it's getting very messy down there, isn't it? It's sad. It's a shame because I mean we've seen in glimpses, you know, just what a big club Southend United are when they had that huge run at the beginning of the season. You think, oh, you know, it looks like their troubles could be behind them, but obviously news then emerged that they weren't, and you know, there was problems in the boardroom, and it split them from the fans. There seems to be a nasty sort of atmosphere around the place. I saw a video of Stan Collymore walking into the club the other day and getting accosted by a couple of fans, disgruntled fans. That's not something you like to see, and it's a very, very difficult situation at the club. I really, really hope they get it resolved, because you know, they're a very popular club. They're backed by a very big fan base, but on the field they just keep doing it, don't they? And you have to give Kevin Meyer and his players all the credit in the world. You know, they're hanging on in there. They're still in with a great shout of a playoff place. And if they can achieve a playoff place in and amongst all this off the field ramblings, then what an achievement that'll be. And you know, Matt Padcock went down to speak to Kevin Murr the other day, and all I can do is just do what I can do on the pitch, and they are delivering, and I really hope they can get it all sorted, and they can get themselves back sort of where they belong. Because to me, Southend United is a football league club, and you know, they're obviously going through tough times at the moment. But hopefully it will resolve itself, and all talk of Phoenix clubs, etc., will disappear. But it just goes to show, really, that it's a club that is. Its fans are fans are very passionate about, and just hope that it could all be resolved as soon as possible.
Yeah, and the passion of fans is always understandable. Yeah, at the end of the day, the only reason that we're still all involved in non-league is because we're fans of non-league football, and the different sort of angle that brings, a different way it affects you. By contrast, with Southend United, one club a couple of weeks ago looked to be in dire straits, probably feeling much brighter now, I'd imagine. Scunthorpe United, relegation still looming, but they've got a new manager, well known to non-league, Jimmy Dean, hopefully helping on that front, along with a new chairman, David Hilton's impact at coming in at the club. And they've been able to lift their transfer embargo as well this week.
Yeah, if ever there was a club who needed a boost, it was Scunthorpe, wasn't it? And it was a great week for them last week. Obviously, new owner coming in, and had a big game, didn't they, on Saturday? Just but picked up a precious point, 1-1. I mean, obviously they're battling for every point they can get at the moment. And Jimmy Dean's come in. Which we were alerted to on Saturday. We heard he was sat up in the stands, and he'd resigned at Peterborough Sports. So it was two and two together on Saturday night. And obviously without any confirmation, we could safely say that he was going to be the new man in charge. And it's a big job for him. But I mean, already he's made his intentions known. He's made I think seven, in total, new signings, some big names as well, and Sebby Ferris, his winger that's been having a great season at Peterborough. He's followed him down there, and Jerry McDonough, who was ex FC Halifax Town, big striker, very experienced. He's gone down there as well, and there's a big. All of a sudden, there's this sort of sense of optimism around the place, which they needed doing. I mean, it's perfect timing for them. They've got an opportunity now to get themselves out of a very tricky situation. They've got a bit of time to do so as well, and they're playing Barnet at home on Friday night, and what a big occasion that could be now. You know, all of a sudden the fans have got the bit between their teeth again, and they're looking forward to their football, and the visit of probably one of the informed teams of the National League at the moment in Barnet, who have been flying of late. They beat Chesterfield 3-0 on Saturday, which was a great result for them. That promises already to be an excellent first game for the new owner, and hopefully they can get their house in order. Scunthorpe again, because a bit like Southend, that's a big fish in the non-league pools, and hopefully they can get themselves out of trouble, because I think next year if they can stay in the National League, I think we've got a big title contender on our hands.
Indeed, and the managerial merry-go-round has been quite quiet in recent weeks, where we haven't had any games. I don't know whether that's where managers hadn't been meeting with chairmen, so they hadn't been sort of speaking to one another, winding each other up, or what. But the Dean, I guess, was the big move on the merry-go-round this week. But perhaps the big news was the shock departure of Steve Lovell at Ramsgate. He seemed he'd been quietly getting on with the job, but had Ramsgate top of the Isthmian Southeast 1 until Saturday, when they, I think it was a 2-0 defeat to Three Bridges. They just dropped a place, and that seemed too much, because by what Lovell's claimed to the local media down in Kent, he was sacked on the phone on Monday morning. It doesn't bode well, having he'd won the November and December Manager of the Month award. So if anybody's about to be awarded that in January, they'll be checking their phone on a regular basis.
And also, I would add to that as well. If you ever get a phone call from the non-league paper, to set your phone on a regular basis as well, because the curse of the non-league really did strike us badly on Sunday. not least because we did this big feature on Steve Lovell and how much, yeah, there was more to come from Ramsgate, flying high at the top of the table. I think it was second. They lost last week, but bar that, they were right up there. There was a lot to be excited about after Steve took him from sixth into promotion contention. Everything was in place, and they had a bad result Saturday, and bang. We thought initially it would have had something to do with Gillingham, maybe mm-hmm. joining Andy Essenthaler at one of his former clubs, and then it was suggested that maybe Maidstone may have been the intended next port of call for him, but no, it was it turns out he was just sacked, and he expressed his. His dismay on social media, which is his right, and yeah, that was one of the stranger sackings I think of the season. I think that one.
Yeah, it's one of those that might it might come out in the wash one day. Also. It shows that however successful you are as a club or as a player, nothing's there forever. Also departing this week, Jody Banim from Warrington Rylands, and they're now looking for their third manager of the season after obviously winning the FA Vase at Wembley. Sometimes that stride to the next level is just too much.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, Cody obviously taking over a club and just been promoted. Quite good for him, but he's decided to step down due to a commitment outside. I think in football, but outside of the club, which is obviously exciting for him. But he's done incredibly well with a team like Warrington Wanderers playing Step 3 for the first time. They're just outside the playoffs. He's had an excellent season. Obviously, he's. Kind of a bit of a U-turn in his life, and he's made a decision, and has decided to step away, which is pretty shameful Warrington Wanderers. But whoever comes in, he's left them in a good position, and you know, who knows, with a bit of a new manager bounce, they could even work their way into a playoff place. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see who takes over there.
Yeah, and it was, of course, transfer deadline day during the week as well. And whilst it no longer directly affects National League clubs, it always brings about a flurry of moves as clubs look to fill gaps in their squad up in the Football League. And one player we've spoken about lots in non-league in recent seasons, he's gone posh.
Yes, that's right, yeah. Josh Falker.
I was going to... Kabango to Shimanga. Chesterfield.
Oh, I said what? Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry. Yeah. Yes. Well, we've often felt that probably Kabango Shimanga was probably the non-league top striker for the last two seasons or so. His return to football hasn't been quite so easy for him. He's not found himself a regular in the starting lineup for some reason or another. Wasn't even in the squad on Saturday at Barnet. I don't know if there were talks going on then, but yeah, he's got the move that I think he richly deserves. I think he's a top talent. He's got every attribute you would want in your striker, and you know, thankfully, Football League team has taken a punt on him, and I don't think it's any coincidence that team is Peterborough, who seem to have bought a lot of non-league boys over the last few seasons, and you know, thankfully Shimanga, I think, is back where he belongs, and that's in the Football League, and you know, he's a lovely lad as well, and I wish him every success, and I really hope he kicks on and shows what he can do.
Indeed. And also, as you say, a big move for Josh Walker as well, going from Dagenham and Redbridge to Burton Albion.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, another one. I mean, he's been a big hit with Dagenham. Slightly more under the radar than Shimanga, but yeah, I know the Dagenham fans, they think highly of him. Scored 12 goals this season already. It was a bit of a hit at Barnet as well. prior to that. So yeah, this was a guy who's performed at a very high level in the National League consistently for the last 2 or 3 years, and he's got his chance with Burton in League One as well. I mean, that's a big jump for him. And again, I wish him every success. And as a point you made earlier, just goes to show how strong National League is these days. If you know these teams like Burton and Peterborough are taking a punt on National League strikers, it just goes to show that that there is talent out there, and I wouldn't be surprised at all if those two guys go straight into first team contention.
Yeah, well, and again, that probably says a lot about the players and also the setup of the clubs as well, isn't it? That these players can be considered as being able to go into first team contention with their fitness levels being so much higher, being a similar sort of style and physical attributes of people that are full-time pros higher up in the game. We've got that down in the National League and below as well, and it just shows that the non-league football just gets stronger day by day, and that's throughout the pyramid. One of the other things I probably need to mention as well, that we also saw Tadcaster Albion grab their first win of the league season in the Northern Premier League, Division 1 East, 2-1 at home to Sheffield midweek, which, again, we have listeners that are fans, players and everything, and it's not all about winning. But sometimes if you can't get a win as the season's going on, and we've got to the end of January, you can imagine the relief for anybody involved with Tadcaster Albion this week. It's still a long way to go at the season to sort of keep themselves safe. But that's the sort of thing that you and I in particular love to celebrate about non-league. It's sort of every detail matters to a non-league fan.
Yes, very much so. I mean, those Tadcaster Albion fans, who've waited so long, to get that one win. That's just as great for them as it is for a team who win every week and pick up a win against their rivals. It just that one win sometimes can mean so much to people, especially if you having to wait so long for it. I mean, poor Tadcaster, that's a club that haven't had a great deal of things to chat about over the last few years, with floods and whatever, and they're having to raise money to ground improvements following flood damage, and obviously it's affected them on the field. It affected them on the field to some respect, but to get that one win, even if it it doesn't prove to be enough, but eventually. That's the day that they'll remember their season by. We had a great win that day, and it felt like the club was coming back again. I really hope it does. I really hope it gives them a spark, and who knows, one win could turn into 2, 3, 4, and then all of a sudden they're back in it. But obviously there's a lot to do, but that win will give them a huge lift, and I hope it. I wish them all the best at the club, and I just hope it lifts them onto higher planes.
Yeah, talking about lots to do, I'd expect that the paper this week is a slightly different headache because we've got so many games going on. But anything else we can expect to read in this weekend's non-league paper?
Yeah, obviously we've got a Wrexham. We've got a big feature on Wrexham. Matt Badcock's spoken to Ben Tozer, who he found out he's strangely related to, which was quite bizarre. Apparently there's these distant relatives. So we've got big interview with Ben Tozer ahead of that Sheffield United game. We're catching up on Vars and Trophy, as you say. They're both of those now are almost complete. The game at Tring was abandoned, wasn't it? I think due to floodlight failure, and they're playing on Saturday, but they're almost complete. And next Saturday is the last 16, so we're looking into those ties as well. And we're just going through some transfers this week. Plenty going on, as we say, with sort of Shimanga and Walker, and Woking have been busy as well. So we're looking into that, and plenty more other stuff. Right throughout the leagues, not just National League. Obviously, we go down right down to Step 6, Step 7. There's plenty of good stories going about. And, so make sure you pick up the paper at the weekend.
Yeah, and Sunday mornings is what the non-league paper just is Sunday mornings. That's the only reason Sunday mornings exist in my book. You need a coffee alongside it quite often, but Sunday, particularly if you're reading one of my reports. The non-league paper out with you on Sunday, and also available throughout the week as well, Monday as well. John Couch, thank you for joining us once again on the Non-League Football Show, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you very much, Tim.
And that's it then for this week. Once again, thank you as ever to all of my guests. Thank you to everybody for listening. Please do remember you can follow us throughout the season and join us throughout the week on social media at Non-League Show. Myself there at Tim Fuel, F-U-E-L-L. And you can find us every week on Audio Boom, on Apple Podcasts, but also Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Deezer, TuneIn Radio, CastBox, iHeart, GeoSavin, Listen Notes, Overcast, Podcast Addict, Podchaser, Radio Republic, via your smart speakers and all good podcast aggregation sites. Stay safe, enjoy your football, thank you, and goodbye.
A Jibber Jabber production. JIBBA JABBA